This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Rob.
It's a jar show.
I hope Mike is enjoying his trip to Disney World.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to take on the, what was the ride that made him throw up?
The Guardians of the
Guardians
Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy,
Galaxy,
yeah.
Galaxy Rewind, I believe.
Yeah, he loves...
It also made me so motion sickness that I could not ride the monorail to get back to my car. I had to just lay on the bench.
That motion, those forced perspective motion things are crazy. Well,
no, it's a roller coaster.
But don't they have like...
But it is the teacups on a roller coaster track.
Oh, okay.
So
all
it
right.
spins you while it does its own spinning.
No, you see, I have the need for speed, but I don't like spinny. The last time I was at KD, King's Dominion, I rode every coaster. It was very sad, Josh. I went by myself. I borrowed a car. This was before I had my car. I borrowed a car and I drove to King's Dominion. I rode every roller coaster except Tumbili, which is... it's not
That's
really a roller coaster, but you're in a
thing,
spinning
right?
chair, and I can't handle it.
I can't handle it. The best way I found is years ago when I believe Kelly and I were dating. We were took Owen to the Magic Kingdom for his birthday.
Yep.
And he insisted on doing the teacups. Now, I'm still in date mode.
Oh, so you've got to do it.
Yeah. I'm going to get sick, but I have to do it.
You know, I have a similar thing with when Carrie and I were dating. I went and saw the cherry blossoms.
It's very similar.
Yeah, it is.
Very
you do things that you would never do.
So, but I remember reading, you have to stare at something. If you stare at something that is spinning with you, you'll be all right. So what I did is I took a selfie video of myself the whole time.
Oh, so you were staring at the phone.
So I am staring at the phone. It worked.
Wow.
I got off it perfectly fine. I don't want to do it again.
The teacups are not, that's not as intense as the other, I think. No. Like, I don't like the octopus or.
Oh, yeah. I don't like any of that stuff where it flips you and.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The worst ride I've ever been on for making me feel bad, and this is, it would have been 1984, so I was 13.
The Carousel of Progress.
No. That's just horrifying because of the horrible figures. No, this one required me when I disembarked to actually sit down on the concrete, legs crossed, and just settle down. I didn't even find a bench. There was a ride at King's Dominion called the Apple Turnover.
Oh, I'm very familiar.
And it involves spinning and upside down and everything that is bad about the world. So that I would stay away from that. But yeah, there's not... A coaster I won't do as long as it doesn't involve like spinning.
Did
I don't
you
like
ever
losing.
Do,
yeah.
At I know you're a Kings guy, so you probably didn't spend much time at Six Flags.
No.
But I think before it was Six Flags, when it was Adventureland, something like that.
Yeah, it started out as Wild World.
Yes. Well, yeah. And as a child I went as Wild World.
Yeah.
And then it continued to change. But I believe during the Adventure Time is when they introduced the Superman roller coaster, which its big deal was a big drop.
Yeah.
And this was another like date day that I went on the stupid roller coaster because I was with a girl. And then later they decided to update that roller coaster by giving you VR goggles to wear.
No.
So as you moved around, you weren't seeing anything except a Superman world that you were in.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would make me so sick.
I think that Superman roller coaster, when they closed Wild World, and I shall always call it Wild World, I think because it was a water park, I think they disassembled it and put it rethemed in another park somewhere, which I always wonder about when they disassemble roller coasters and move them.
I know when I move furniture, I lose stuff.
Yeah. I mean, or even worse, they used to have the ride at King's Dominion, the King Cobra, which was essentially a loop and that's it.
Right.
And then that ended up in Ocean City. And I'm thinking, they're putting it together in Ocean City, and they're saying, wow, we got a couple bolts left over.
Exactly, just like IKEA furniture.
Yeah, do you have an Allen wrench?
It looks all right, but they must have shipped extra bolts.
Yes, I'm sure they did. But anyway, and stay tuned while we're talking theme parks for a major announcement for Hour Under the Tower 2. So you can meet us at King's Dominion. I wanted to talk to you about that off air. Oh, okay. Well,
to confirm we're doing it. So
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we let people know the truth is Mike's not here because his face continued to implode?
Mike's face is gone. I don't know if you've ever seen the last 10 minutes of Raiders of the Lost Ark, but he melted just like that Nazi.
Exactly.
Horrible, horrible. And you know, when your face
we
melts...
We told him not to open up the Ark of the Covenant.
I said, yeah, and don't scratch. Those are the two things the doctor said. Don't scratch, don't pick, and don't open up the Ark.
Right. And remember, if you're got to drink out of Jesus's cup, it's the wooden one that's not fancy.
Exactly, exactly.
Don't go for the bejeweled.
Thank you. That was Liberace's cup, the bejeweled one. That's too fancy, too much. While we're looking ahead, I did want to make a small announcement here.
All right.
As many of you know, because I've harped on it forever, as my father died in late February. And he is. Yeah, there's my pop. That's his high school senior picture. That's my dad right before man landed on the moon. Isn't that handsome? I love it. But we have finalized the arrangements for his celebration of life. He has been a part of this show. He's been a part of a lot of the listeners of this show. We're fans and friends, and they love him. And we'd love for you to come out and join us if you can. It's, of course, going to be at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern because Jimmy's family, and we wouldn't be right anywhere else. Saturday, January.
And a deal.
What's that?
And I'm sure he's giving you a good deal.
Not as good as you think.
Oh, okay.
Family Thanks, fights. Jimmy. Families fight. You know. No, Jimmy. Yeah. It's a square deal. It's a square deal. I'll tell
you. Bruce will be there.
But it's Saturday, June 20th, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., casual attire. My father hated ties, so please, just come as you are. Hawaiian shirt would be very appropriate. Food and drinks will be provided. Family and friends will share memories and make remarks at about 3. I will do a eulogy that I will keep mercifully brief. And then if you have some thoughts or anything you'd like to share about my dad, we'd love to hear it. So please join us as we raise a glass to honor Bob for a life well lived. There will be laughter and stories and love to help temper thy tears. And of course, Jimmy's Tavern is at 697 Spring Street, in Virginia, and you can check out all the details for the venue at jotnew.com, JOTTNEW.com, because that's the new version of his website.
Oh, so yeah. He also had a website issue like us.
Yeah, I maybe the same guy. And of course, if you're not familiar with Jimmy's, there is free municipal lot parking across the street. So that's June 20th, and it would really mean a lot if you guys showed up. We'd really appreciate it.
I will be there.
I can't wait to see you.
Thank you for planning it on my travel schedule.
Well, I told my dad, I said, you know, if you don't die soon, we're not going to have Josh. So we're able to work that. He died in a way that we could do a memorial and an Hour Under the Tower. So stay tuned for those details.
You know, I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
And you reminded me with Jot New.
Yeah.
That I got an email like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And it was right after we got rid of MichaelMaraShow.com.
Yes.
And moved to TMOSPodcast.com.
Yeah.
That I get all these Facebook messages from this guy and then an email from this guy. And he is freaking out because something's wrong with MichaelMaraShow.com.
Yeah.
It is.
A lot is wrong with it.
But it is directing people to his train club.
You know, I did
a train club website.
I did that, and I got directed to the train club as well. And yeah. I'm thinking, you know what? At least it's not like dark web porn or anything that's sending us there.
I said, I don't know anything about this. I said, that domain name was stolen by a former employee.
Right.
I said, here's the person you can try to contact about your train club, but they have not helped me.
So funny. You know what is, it really is genuinely funny, the notion of Jot New.
And he's a genius. We should have made ours Michael Mara Show New.
Well, it's so simple. Is it too simple? Am I missing it? I don't know. But it's very funny to me.
What happened? Oh.
What's that?
Jot goes straight to some girl in a bikini. Oh, it's a clothing store now called Jock.
Because it used to be, I think it was jimmysoldtowntavern.com or Jimmy's something, okay. But Jock is what it is.
Jock, I knew it was just silly.
I almost feel like we're part of a joke. Like, you know, people that are in the know are in the know. He's hiding under the Jock New umbrella. But if you Google it, you'll get there. Anyway.
The chat is saying, wait, please explain. I thought the train club is the guy that stole the domain name.
No, I don't think so.
No. The person who has owned the domain name for the past 15 years still owns the domain name.
Right.
We don't know how the train club got involved.
Yeah. I like trains okay. Trains are good.
Yes. But I don't think the train guy lives in Glover Park.
No. What if you got the train guy to just give us a link to our website, just in case?
A little
button.
Just redirect everyone over.
I mean, we'll give a plug to your train club. Do you think he would?
He would, but it doesn't do that anymore.
Somehow, okay.
He got it straightened out.
All right. Well, good for him and his train.
I was just checking. I wanted to bring up the train club.
Good. Are you a member?
I am not. I am not a fan of trains.
Okay. Well, we should get together.
Maybe I am, but I'm not a part of this club.
Well, I would say you're not a train enthusiast.
I don't know. As a kid, I remember going to like the fire stations around Christmas time to see the nice train displays.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking like big trains though, not model trains.
Oh, big like ride-along trains.
Yeah, like Amtrak.
I've only been on them in Europe.
Don't they have Italian
trains?
They're very fast. I've ridden them as well. What about clean? Really nice. But what about
counting the subway or the metro?
As subway DC doesn't
people
count.
Insist
no.
on calling it.
That's right. But I'm curious. Doors open on the left. Do you ever ride the steam-powered locomotive at Magic Kingdom? Because Walt Disney loved trains.
I did not. I was in line for the about to get on the Goofy roller coaster, Barnstormer.
Barnstormer, okay.
And that train blew its whistle about 50 feet from me, and
pretty
it is
loud.
The loudest thing I've ever heard. It was so loud, and the guy insisted on doing it like 4 times. I was so irritated.
That's fun for them, isn't it?
Yeah, they want to make sure you can hear it across the park.
Exactly.
Not 20 feet away.
So anyway, trains good. And if you want to get involved with trains, go to michaelmarishow.com, exactly. I guess. But of course, we're living at tmospodcast.com. Yes. All right. I think you and I are, I don't know if we're going to bust heads, but we definitely have differing opinions on how America is celebrating its 250th sesquicentennial, I think it was, or sesquibicentennial. Yeah, 250 years of America. Yes. My initial thought when they started making a big deal of this, like in April, and local news loves it, of course.
Yes.
But my first thought is that when I was in Europe once, and you were just in Europe, last summer, right? You did all of Europe. You realize how old Europe is in comparison.
Yeah, how young we are.
We're a young country. And 200 years, 250 years sounds like a long time. It is. But that means I've been alive for more than 20% of this country's life.
Well, that's the thing, looking at those museums in Europe, and everything there is like older than our country.
Yeah, exactly.
Like by a long shot.
And I think that I think we still sort of have a reputation of being like an upstart country. I mean, it's not a great time for people to love America anyway, but
I like to think of America as a teenager.
Yeah.
We're the 13, 14-year-old. We're the ones where the entire world revolves around us.
Yeah.
But we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
All the time.
I see. But you know, that's quite valid.
We get all the attention.
Maybe we should take a year where we're the fat teenager, the one that's introverted and hasn't many friends.
Exactly. We're in the midst of those teen takeover years. We're just flooding the shopping malls.
Beautiful. So I am disappointed in our country right now. A lot of people are. And the fact that we're staging this huge celebration, I think, is not what we need to be focusing on. And then I'm looking on my feed this morning.
But you're saying, you mentioned this yesterday. Well, because of the state of the country now, we shouldn't be celebrating. Well, half the country like me likes the direction we're going.
That's
true. More than that, we are celebrating 250 years, which means we're celebrating the entire existence, not just this moment of the country.
I hear you, but what do you feel when we're, if you really want to celebrate the heritage of this country, and I literally had to fact check a picture that came up on my feed today. I had to go to several real news organizations when I saw
the, with their building,
the ring of terror or whatever it is for the big ring. Fight. Yeah.
All right, here's the deal. It's not how I would do things. I don't think of UFC as America.
Okay.
I would, honestly, if it was up to me, we'd have a nice big, like, baseball game. Like, that's an American sport.
Okay, yeah. But like, would you do it at the White House? Would you do it at the White House, though?
I mean, it'd be pretty cool. Anything at the White House is pretty cool. The biggest, and it comes back to the Nationals. The Nationals, the biggest mistake they made is that you can't see any of the monuments from their park.
You're right.
Because all those monuments in the White House, they look cool in the background no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're having a paintball tournament on the White House lawn, it still looks cool because you're at the White House.
From your lips to God's ears, please don't talk about a paintball tournament at the White House. No, they made the same mistake when they built a FedEx Field in Landover. It was so far away you couldn't see the money. And if you watch a Commander's game on TV, they always show a shot of the Capitol or the Washington Monument. Yes. Like it's in town, but it's not.
Like the Nats always show the cherry blossoms when they're in bloom, and it's like, that's going to take you 45 minutes to drive to.
I hate cherry blossoms.
I know you do. I'm not a fan either.
But this really struck me. I almost didn't believe it when I saw it. It's like the movie Idiocracy, where the president of the United... Yes, it is!
No, it's not. No, it's not. We're celebrating 250 years.
With a fight!
No, we're celebrating it with all types of things. We're having a fight at the White House because it's the president's favorite sport.
And so it's also his 80th birthday. It's a present to himself.
Oh, on that day?
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's not on July 4th or whatever.
No.
But so I don't mind that because, come on, if you're the president, do cool things. And I know not everyone's going to think it's cool, but I don't think it's cool.
But then have Ronda Rousey in for McDonald's. You don't need to build this arena on the White House.
Come on, don't you think it's cool when Trump brings in and caters with Big Macs because he can?
I think it's cool to see the table of 200 Big Macs. I think it's lazy. And also, you can't cater with a Big Mac because it's got a very short half-life. I know the fries are a disaster.
I think every president in my lifetime had done goofy things and embarrassing things and weird things.
Okay.
So this is just the next thing. And I'll tell you, as much as I don't like the UFC at all.
Right.
I think Mike's the only one of us that watches this stuff and likes it. I'll check it out simply because it will look cool with the White House in the background. Because everything does.
You know, but when I see it, it offends me that they're using this sacred ground where our government is centered, the executive branch is centered at the White House, and they're having what would be more suited to a state fair or a rec center right in the middle of the lawn. I think disappointing.
But then you're not disappointed about the turkey thing and the
that's and tradition
the and the Easter roll. Well, maybe this should be a new tradition. We have to start sometime.
I don't think it's going to be a tradition.
I don't think so either. But
do you think they'll leave it up for the next fight?
Yeah, they're going to leave it up till November.
I was going to say they could disassemble it and sell it to Ocean City.
No, they're just preparing it for the next January 6th. Okay. We'll have it right up there, ready to hang whoever needs to be hung.
That's not even funny.
It'll be taken down the next day. It takes like 3 weeks to take down. But
are you using the same workers to build that you are to build the Trump arch? I'm just curious. Is there any overlap there?
No, I'm sure it's the painters from the fountain.
All right. Now, here's something that I heard about today that I think you will find entertaining. Have you heard about... the whole thing is called Freedom 250, and the fight
is part of it. Chris is suggesting a UFC fight at the Vatican. Again? That would look cool. Why not?
I'd be okay with that. I'd like the Vatican. But they put it in the big area.
You're screwing up. I don't want to fight at the Vatican. You have to have it at the Colosseum right down the road.
That's a good point. You know what? What if you did it at the Vatican and the Pope? Who's another religious leader that the Pope could fight?
You know what this is? There used to be, when I was in high school, one of those race car games.
Okay.
Where you would choose like Paris and you'd race like around the Eiffel Tower or you'd choose the Colosseum. They need UFC should do a world tour of fights at major landmarks across the world, right in front of the pyramids.
Great. At the bottom of the Grand Canyon. and have someone jump over the Grand Canyon while they're doing the fight.
Well, you know, seriously, what I don't understand about this UFC fight is UFC fights are normally held indoors.
Yeah.
So you normally have controlled climate.
Mm-hmm.
Where this UFC fight, what if it rains? What if it's hot?
Well, it's going to be hot. It's going to be horrible.
It's going to be hot. Like, it's not good atmosphere to have a fight in.
Yeah, it's bad on every, it's bad on every level.
Seems like it could cause injuries to the fighters and everything, but again, no one's going to say no because it's the White House.
And to Greg Klein, I hope you could catch the fact that I was joking about having a fight at the Vatican. I do realize that is sacred ground as well. I do like the Colosseum idea. I mean, because that's what that was built for,
right,
essentially.
Exactly.
So, Freedom 250 has just unveiled the initial roster of artists, speakers, and exhibits for, and you haven't heard of this yet, the Great American State Fair.
Where are they holding this?
On the Mall, right in downtown D.C.
All right, then I like this, because last time I was in D.C., I went to the Mall, and this was my first time taking Kelly to the Mall, or one of them. Uh-huh. And I took him to the Mall because it's what you do.
Right.
And
was she disappointed that there wasn't like a Chess King or an Auntie Annie's there? Different mall?
There was an event on the Mall.
Yeah.
And it was a showcase of construction equipment. So it was big trucks.
I love that. I would think that's great. Yeah.
But it's like, don't tell me anything is sacred about the Mall when anyone can rent out that.
No, I don't think the Mall is sacred. And I think the Mall exists to be a gathering place for all people.
So, however, the idea of I do like state fairs.
I do too.
The idea of bringing a massive state fair to DC, that makes sense to me.
It can't really be, though, the Great American State Fair because it's not one state.
Well,
it's everybody. And also the Mall is going to limit the size of it.
The Mall is pretty big.
Yeah.
And can you do it like, here's how you do it right.
Okay.
You got to do it like the World Showcase at Epcot.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, I'm in Maryland, and now I'm in Virginia, and now I'm in North Dakota.
Down the aisles. Mike would hate the fact that you drew a Disney allusion to the Great American State Fair. It will run from June 25th to July 10th, including the, of course, July 4th anniversary. Be a great place to watch the fireworks. Absolutely, when you're down there.
Have you done it?
I've watched the
Fourth of July fireworks.
Have you gone
to the Mall?
Never gone to the Mall, no.
I did it once.
Never again?
It was cool. It's a nightmare of people.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of there.
Sure. Did you metro? How did you do it?
Of course I metroed. Yes. From New Carrollton.
I remember days of old before they really cracked down, and people would show up in the morning with like a couch that they had no reason to ever take back to their home, and they'd sit on the couch and then stake out their place. It's much more controlled now. When I saw the fireworks downtown, I had a friend who had an apartment near the National Cathedral. And if you are a geography maven, you'll know that the National Cathedral is built on the highest point in D.C. So the roof of his building, it was like club seats. It was so
cool.
That's
awesome.
And then we were able to sneak out and get home on Canal Street.
Well, that's like Times Square.
Yeah,
I would never do Times Square. But if I had a hotel down there and could watch it from the hotel, that'd be pretty cool.
I would like that. So the Great American State Fair is a 16-day celebration, and they have announced the music performers. I would like you to tell me which do you think of this list are A-list performers. I give about 1.5 to them.
Are the Village People on the list?
Don't read ahead, but
okay,
no.
Okay, because Trump does love bringing on the Village
People.
He
does love bringing on.
I don't understand.
He dances like this.
Yeah.
When the Village
his
People come
on. Little dance.
Yeah. Okay. On June 25th, Martina McBride.
Okay.
Country singer and I think an A-lister.
I think that's a... She used to be an A-lister, so yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay.
That'll draw people.
June 26th. If you want to come out to the Mall and hear one hit record, music of CNC Music Factory.
That's what state fairs are, though. State fairs are always one hit wonders.
Yeah, but this is the Great American State Fair.
Right.
And by the way, the Commodores have also been booked for the 27th. And I saw the Commodores at the Fairfax County Fair, and they were fantastic with a huge dossier of hits.
Well, I like this. I like that you're not being like, hey, it's America, we need Taylor Swift. No, you're bringing, all right, who does state fairs across the country? Let's pick some of those. Let's pick from that list. You have
all right.
I think they should have a qualification that you had to do a state fair in the past 10 years.
I County fair too? County fair count?
County fairs will count.
Okay. I have said in the past that I think the worst decade of music for pop music history is the 90s. And there, for some reason, it seems to be a nostalgia for it. Now, well, it's on schedule. We're 30
well,
years
pop,
ago.
I think 90s is pretty strong for rock.
Okay. What about if you went on June 26th and you saw Vanilla Ice at the Great American State
Again,
Fair?
He does county fairs. It's the it's
for him, it's a great booking, but I think that's a slap in the face to America.
No. No, see, you're making too big a deal of this whole America thing. No, it's just a party. It's a state fair.
Okay, well, this will ruin a party. On June 26th, come out and see Milli Vanilli.
You want to go together?
No, and they're lip syncing anyway. They don't sing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Milli Vanilli.
Okay, they're a false band. They were Rob and Fab were hired to be very handsome faces for the band, and they didn't do any of the music. So they were in shame. But okay. This could perhaps relieve them of their shame. Also on June 26th, I would like this Young MC. I like Young MC.
Wait, so you're pro Young MC but anti Vanilla Ice?
Yeah,
it's the same type of performer.
I don't know. I think the Young MC Busta
no,
Moves is a great
no,
song.
It's the same.
All right. I'll cede that. But still, if I'm late, just don't let Young MC start. As I mentioned on the 27th, the Commodores, great Motown band, and a long string of hits and good.
I do like the mix of genres here that you've been having.
All right, on July 2nd, this is the one that I thought might be the biggest headliner, the biggest A-lister, Flo Rida. Now, he hasn't had a hit in a while.
No, Flo Rida also falls in with Young MC and Vanilla Ice.
Okay, but
they are doing this is the county tour circuit. The other thing they do is the same guys do the post-game concerts at stadiums across the country.
And they also help clean up after
because
the
remember,
stadium.
The people, it's not like the president or Senate made this list of performers. Mm-hmm. It was probably Live Nation.
I don't think so, but maybe we could do some research on that. On July 3rd, you know, getting close to the actual birthday, Bret Michaels. Not the band Poison, but Bret Michaels.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing his own thing for a while.
Yeah. And he might be doing his own thing by himself because I don't think a lot of people will attend. And then this is my favorite, and there's a reason. June 27th, Morris Day and the Time.
I don't know who that is.
Great funk band. Really good stuff. You would know their music. But then, right after that went live with that announcement, within hours, Morris Day and the Time announced on their X and I believe Instagram as well that they will not play the show and that they will not be there and they choose to pass. So,
well, is this the thing? I hate when politics invades everything in life.
Yeah.
Is this one of those things where if you're playing this, that means you're supposed to support the president?
No, I think...
Is that how it's taken back?
Maybe, but if you are announced to play and then you say you're not playing,
right,
there's something wrong there. Like, maybe they decided they wanted to have them and then they said, no, we don't want to do it. Because, I mean, they did a major national government press release.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You're not booking this without locking everyone up. So something's weird there with how that guy did it.
Also, there's going to be military performances and demonstrations. All of the great, the Singing Sergeants, the President's Own Band, they're all going to be there. And the fair will also feature special appearances and programming by representatives of the National Medal of Honor Museum, nationally recognized health and wellness leaders, and some of America's top innovators. I don't think that's really good stuff for a fair to hear a PowerPoint from an innovator.
No, that's also a state fair, county fair thing where you'll have people do presentations.
Well, I always it what is. About the when they what about like the biggest squash or the best butter?
The sheep bring the sheep out. I hope they auction some cows.
I would think that would be great. Do you think Vance could do that? You don't need the president to go down with the cows.
Yeah, that's more of a Rubio move. But
now, speaking of sheep, you went to the movies. Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's the list. I did. I went and saw.
There will be a Ferris wheel. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Is it really?
Yeah, free to get in. Will you go?
I'm tempted to go.
If you go, I'll go with you.
What are the dates of the fair?
What was it? It was June 25th to the July 9th, I think. Hold on.
All right. Let me see.
Paper. Here we go. It is June 25th through July 10th.
All right.
You will be in town.
Hour under the tower to hour at the UFC thing. Hour at the carnival.
No, it would be at a fair. We have to find something that rhymes with fair. Something at the fair. We'll say yes. An hour at the. I got it. Come kneel at the wheel, and we'll meet at the Ferris wheel.
What are we praying?
No, we're just kneeling. That's okay. All.
It seems like a shame to drive through DC and not check this thing out.
I can only imagine what it's going to do for traffic. It's probably going to make it really rotten. It's got to be a metro event.
We're going to have to take the metro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Green line, silver line. What are you into?
Well, see, I'm always a New Carrollton guy because I'd be coming from Annapolis. So, but for this, I'm sure I could come down and join you at your stop.
Well, you could come to my house and then we could go to the silver line. Boom, okay. Straight on in. We'll take all care right. of that.
All right.
So you saw the Sheep Detective.
The Sheep Detective. All right. Do you know anything about the Sheep Detective?
I know that the name is a parody of the Neil Simon movie from 1,000 years ago called The Sheep Detective.
All right, so here's all I knew going in.
Okay.
Is it's talking animals, their shepherd dies, and the sheep decide they're going to solve the murder.
Oh, so the shepherd doesn't just die, he's killed.
He's killed.
It's the shepherd is like a regular person? Does he talk to the animals?
Yes, he reads murder. He reads murder books to them every night, and he's very close to his sheep, so that's why they believe they can do this.
Oh dear!
So and here's the deal. So I took the kids last night. It's a kids movie. It's PG.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I go into the theater, and my kids are the only kids in the theater. There's a lot of people in this theater,
like grown-ups.
All grown-ups. It's a lot of people older than me. It's this older crowd.
It's PG. Why? Because they show like udders.
I don't know. Cats. Probably because it was talked about murder.
Okay. Okay. Probably. Granted. Okay. But, better answer.
Rob, this might be my favorite movie of the year.
It was that good?
It's a really good movie. It has the Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
The guy from Shrinkin'.
Is he Roy Kent? Is that Roy his character? Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if I meant to look up if he wrote this or whatever. Because it is funny.
He is a great stand-up. If you ever he has a Netflix special. It's worth it. It's great.
I love him in every show he's in.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a great. It's a good family movie. But it's like family movies were in like the 80s and 90s, where there's depth to them and emotion, and the whole family can actually enjoy it.
How does the mystery angle work out? Because I love a whodunit.
The mystery angle works out pretty good.
Is it as good as like a Knives Out or similar to a Knives Out?
Take like a Knives. It reminded me a lot of Knives Out.
Okay.
You simplify it a little bit because it's for families.
Sure.
But and then it's the sheep are fun. The technology of making the sheep talk and look all right and not look weird totally works.
Hold it. The animals are like AI, not like cartoon.
They are, like real, they look.
I was gonna
real.
Say like I would say like real. In the movie Babe, where the pig is a real
like
pig.
It's like
okay.
Babe.
Well, okay. So now I'm in.
Good.
Now I'm in. I like that.
And it does a really good mix of the humans talking and figuring, like, because you've got the clumsy cop who's trying to solve the murder, mm-hmm. and then you've got the sheep who are trying to solve it, and they end up helping out the cop. And it does a really good job with like they can't talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
but having it be like. Now you're hearing what humans are saying. Now you're hearing what sheep are saying.
You've intrigued me.
No, it's a great movie.
You have truly intrigued me. Any other celebrity voices in it? Like recognizable ones, I'm wondering.
Yeah, I recognized a lot of voices, but let me pull it up.
I thought this was just an animated feature.
Hugh Jackman is the shepherd who dies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So let's see. Emma Thompson,
sure. Big British actress.
Nicholas Braun.
Don't know.
Bella Ramsey. Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Yeah.
And Malcolm in the Middle.
I'll tell you what, right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 95% by the critics and a 96% from the audience.
Well, is this Pixar? Do you know who is behind it? Because it sounds great.
It is, I'm telling you, an hour and 49 minutes. I was shocked how good it was. Because I don't mind going to kid movies.
No, I don't either.
I take a gummy, I get a big thing of popcorn, and I sit there and I just eat the entire thing.
I mean, I love the whole movie experience. I don't do it enough. I really, really got out of the habit during COVID. But when you see a movie, it's a shared experience. And if it's a good movie, it's all the better. So
you know what? I believe it was Amazon MGM.
Okay.
That put it out.
So it'll end up probably on a Paramount Plus soon or MGM Movies?
Or Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's true. Prime. Okay.
I always forget to go to Prime for movies. But if you have kids or if you don't have kids, this movie is really good. It sounds so stupid, but it's a great movie.
You've really inspired. I may go see it. I may go see it alone, like I go to King's Dominion. You know, I go to King's Dominion alone.
I already turned to Kelly last night during one of the trailers, and I said, I'm going to have to watch that movie by myself, aren't I? And she said, yes.
Now,
he said, see if they still have the Tuesday morning deals.
Which kids did you take? Did you take Camden and Owen?
Camden and Owen, yeah.
How did they like it?
So two 12-year-olds, they both enjoyed it.
God, that's great. You know, yeah. You don't hear a lot. I guess the last movie that everyone was all up in the air about was the outer space movie with the teacher.
With the teacher. And that was very good, too. And yeah. And I loved that movie. But I read the book, so that wasn't as big a surprise to me, where mm-hmm. this movie, I went into it being like, I might take a nap.
Sure. Just so people don't think we're as stupid as we are, what was the name of the Martian outer space teacher movie?
Hail Mary.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. And that takes us back to the Vatican.
And Rob, the movie that I was told I need to see by myself would be He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of He-Man stuff simmering under on the internet right now. I think it's about to bust really big. And I was just at the tail end of the age range where I could watch the Masters of the Universe.
It was perfect for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was my age range. And yeah. Kelly is much younger, so she had no foul on He-Man.
Skeletor is a great villain.
And Skeletor looks great in the movie, in the new live action.
How about this? After we go to the Great American State Fair, let's go see Masters of the Universe.
I'm down. I'm always down.
All right. We're going to take a break. I actually have tidbits for you today, believe it or not. Rock and roll flavored tidbits.
Are they 30-year-old tidbits?
No, these are. Stay tuned for the world's first black and white newscast. We'll be back after this word from Dermglow.
Hey, fudge cutters. Mike O'Mara here. I want to share something my wife Carla is really excited about at Dermglow Skin. Peptides. Peptides are natural compounds in your body that act as messengers, helping with things like repair, metabolism, sleep, and energy. Now you can supplement them all. Partnering with a trusted telehealth partner, Dermglow gives you access to doctor-prescribed peptides in all 50 states. It's simple. Take a quick online quiz, get approved, and your order ships straight to your door. Peptides can improve your energy, metabolism, and cellular health. Detox and skin support, hair, skin, and scalp health, better sleep, and the Wolverine stack for recovery and healing. And of course, GLP-1s for weight loss. Whether you're trying to lose 30-plus pounds or just the last 5, there are programs and microdosing options to help with benefits like reduced cravings and better blood sugar balance. Everything is prescribed by licensed doctors safely and conveniently. If you're low on energy, struggling with weight, not sleeping well, or just not feeling your best, there may be a peptide that can help you. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and click the weight loss and peptides to get started. DermGlowSkin.com, helping you feel better from the inside out.
Do you think Hugh Jackman uses that Wolverine pack?
That's funny you say that, because that's the first time that Wolverine stack stood out to me as well in that copy.
It really jumped. Anyway, oh yeah, tidbits. It's time. And I know this is not my normal forte, but let's see how we do. I found some stories I think you all are going to enjoy. So Colbert's final show was a huge success for CBS. He had an amazing number, 6.7 million viewers.
Yeah. Because everyone else turned off their show and said, go watch Colbert. No competition.
But still, you know, good for him. And I love when good things happen to CBS.
You're right. They should, you know what? They should bring the show back, because now people care.
Now they do care. So they had 6.7 million viewers, which is an pretty good, except the day after, CBS took a 85% downturn in viewership. Right. 85% is not that great.
Let's be real. They had there was probably a 50% downturn after the first segment.
Yeah, you're right. Jimmy found that same night that the Comics Unleashed, that's the infomercial that they're running, it came in third to Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel. They each had a 1.5 million viewers, and Kimmel was a rerun. So a rerun Kimmel is beating beating the new Comics Unleashed. CBS revealed that Byron Allen had purchased Colbert's marquee time slot for, as they said, tens of millions. And he's going to air his show, Comics Unleashed, and the second hour. So basically, this guy, Byron Allen, who was a comedian who got his start on the show Real People, now he's literally a billionaire.
And I love this move, because he buys it, puts his own show on it, and sells his own commercials.
Yeah.
I love that, because I think that's how all TV should be. If you believe in your product enough that you can sell the commercials, you buy this ad slot. Don't let us put up all the money for friends. Prove it to us.
But it is essentially an infomercial format.
It's it's Goss's garage.
Yeah. that's a very inside joke, but you're right. BG Products. Right. Now, here's a quote from Byron Allen. Let me see what you think of this. He says, quote, "Not everyone's going to love me. Not everyone's going to love the fact that I'm not being racist or anti-Semitic or sexist. But there is that 1 or 2% that would be like, hell yeah, I'm rolling with you. I learned that at an early age by that way, that simple lesson, and it made me a billionaire." Now, this troubles me. I'm glad that he's not racist, anti-Semitic, or sexist. But is he implying that the other shows are?
I don't think so. I think he's implying he's more family-friendly content. Here's the deal. You know who loves him is CBS.
Yeah. Because of course. Yes.
But I will check it out, because
I've seen the show.
I'm curious. I'm curious about Comics Unleashed.
The second show is like a game show, I think, and John Lovitz is on it quite a bit, and I like John Lovitz.
See, that could be fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
And the talk show format, we've talked over and over how it's dead.
Yeah.
Podcasting especially has killed it.
You need someone really sparkly and sensational to make a talk show work. And no one's out there that does it right now. Well, John Lovitz, no, I would say John Lovitz has what they call guest energy. Not so much a host energy.
Does he bring his friends on?
I don't know. I've only seen little bits of it. But, you know, it's so great they cut to John Lovitz. And he'll be Lovitz. You know, say, here I am, jealous. And he's so funny. Anyway,
I like when I'll stumble on one of his TikToks.
Oh, he's great. He's always annoyed. He did a lot with Dice, as a matter of fact.
Him and Dice going around New York City is the best.
It is really great. Okay. Everyone loves soccer, or as many people call it, football. And they're going to be hosting, and one of the finals will be hosted in Mexico near, I believe it is, Puerto Vallarta. Here's some bad news for people of Puerto Vallarta, is that there seems to be a serial killer down there.
That's a problem.
Yeah, following the discovery of the bodies of three murdered women over a span of 11 days in Puerto Vallarta, they all shared similar traits. They were all partially stripped naked, all in their mid-30s, and they were all found in remote locations. So the people down there, the police are saying, we have no proof of them being related, except it's three murders in 11 days and they all have the same modus operandi. So if you're going down to Puerto Vallarta for some sun, fun, and soccer, please be careful, especially if you're a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah.
That'll ruin your day. Though. No soccer players. I'm afraid not. So
I imagine that's part of the World Cup. Because the World Cup has a bunch of games out here.
Yeah. They called it a host region. Puerto Vallarta is in the region. It's not like a city. But anyway, so if you like soccer and you want to go down there, please be careful.
Yeah, don't get murdered.
That's been our motto for years. I always thought Drake, and I'll get some rock and roll news here, or top 40 news. I always thought Drake had gotten to a point where he was sort of a punchline as far as being a performer, because I know he broke hot after he was on a Canadian kids soap opera.
So
he's a handsome young buck, and he makes the top 40 records. I didn't think that his best work was ahead of him, but apparently I couldn't be more wrong. The Hot 100, which is not what it used to be, because the music
is it still
segmented.
Pay to play?
No, it's not. But music is so segmented now, and you really can't rate it from radio airplay. It's different. Like, for example, in like 1970, there were probably like 38 or 39 number one records in the year. And last year, there was like 4 number one records because there's no turnover. But this is insane. On the Hot 100 this week, Drake has the number one song, which is called Janice, STFU.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's great. Janice doesn't like it. She won't talk about it. But
she doesn't like her mom for spelling her that way.
Including Janice, STFU, Drake has on the Hot 100 42 songs. 42%.
Currently,
yes.
At the moment?
Yes. 42% of the Hot 100 is Drake. How can this be?
He's got a good agent or something. How do you get 40% of the best music is Drake?
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to put out 100 albums to have that. I mean, that many
and
singles,
I could name
right?
One Drake song, I think.
I can't even do that.
Well, I think he had that like "Call You on the Telephone" song.
Okay, that's a nice song.
I think that
it's
was
pretty.
One of his first hits.
Well, he was calling Janice, I think. Also, the number one spot with Janice, he has now 14 number one hits, breaking Michael Jackson's record of 13 for a solo male. Rihanna and Taylor Swift also have 14. Mariah Carey
Hotline.
Has 19. And
Hotline Bling was his big song, the one I could name.
The Call You on the Telephone song.
Yeah, except, of course, it's cell phone, and I'm an old man.
Yeah, a lot of people, if you're not watching the video, Josh is white, and we just wanted to emphasize it by calling the Drake song
the telephone.
The Call on the Telephone song. And the Beatles, of course, with 20 number one hits. Elvis had, I think, 17 something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
Think
but
if
anyway,
he didn't die.
But Drake, with that says to me the system needs to be destroyed and reinvented because it can't be that many people are listening to that many Drake songs. I just don't buy it.
I don't know. That's not my world at all.
Shocking.
Though.
Yeah. You didn't enjoy was Drake in Cheap Detective?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Has Drake done, I guess he does acting.
Yeah, acting. Lots of acting. And singing. Too. Okay, you've been to quite a few concerts. I know you do faith music some, but you've been to some big concerts.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to talk about stadium rock here. Let's talk about arena rock, which is going to be like a 20,000 seat arena.
Yeah, I've seen Striper.
Okay. Yeah, it does. It does, as a matter of fact. Ultimate Classic Rock named the top four, big four of arena rock. And I've only seen one of these bands. Queen is number one, which I would have loved to have seen, but they had broken up before I'd gotten old enough to see them. Journey, which everyone loves Journey, but believe me, folks, I was there in the 80s. They weren't as good as you seem to think they were. Bon Jovi.
Journey, Bon Jovi, and the guy from New Jersey are always listed, and people know like two songs by each.
Yeah, I would see Bon Jovi because if you remember, you don't. His first video, he was, that guy. He's in D.C. last night, as a matter of fact. Van Halen.
Early.
Van Halen is the one band I've seen. Pretty good.
That's a cool concert to have.
I went early in the Van Hagar years, and I felt a little cheated that they still performed the song Jump, but Hagar sang it. But it was still a blast.
You still have to do that song.
Now, can you think of any other bands that you put in your top four? They suggest Kiss, Def Leppard, Guns N' Roses, or Motley Crue. Kiss is the best arena show I've ever
Kiss
seen.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And also, when Billy Joel if you watch the long, boring documentary, an agent stole all his money, and he basically had to start from square one in about 1990, I think. And his tour was at the old Capitol Center, and it was really a stage and a band and lights. Not even fancy lights, just stage lighting. And he played for 2.5 hours, and it was sensational.
Would you count Aerosmith?
I think they're
rock,
they're sort of on the bubble. Yeah,
arena rock is such a narrow.
It is,
thing.
But it seems to be loud bands. Loud bands do that. Also, a good arena show I saw was Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra.
That's just because it's in an arena.
It doesn't count?
No.
Okay. Paul McCartney. I said this was a rock and roll flavored newscast. He has just learned There are so many things in this story that I doubt, but I'll read it to you as written. Paul McCartney recently learned that Prince would perform a cover of The Long and Winding Road at his concerts. Now he's in touch with Prince's estate to get the isolated tracks to do a virtual duet with Prince. Now, if you want to know how Prince performed the song, let's take a listen.
This is a money grab.
Exactly.
This is Paul McCartney trying to get on the this Prince is
when
money grab.
Like when he did the duet with the Foo Fighters, when he which was good, the duet with Ye, which was horrible. But Paul, you're gonna get all the money anyway. You don't need to do this.
No, just do AI John Lennon and everyone will be happy.
Oh, you don't need to go the Natalie Cole road where you sing with your dead father. You don't need to do that.
A few years ago, there was talk that we were going to start seeing holograms at concerts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying, Paul McCartney, consider some holograms. Well, fill that band out.
On his last tour, what he did is they used AI technology to erase Paul's vocals from songs that they had film of, so he could sing virtually with John Lennon.
Oh, so he has gone down this path.
Yeah, he has.
But now he's looking for more money grab.
Yeah, and he says, Paul, you have all the money. I love you. You are Mozart. You are so talented. Relax, man. Paul says, oh, it's really great. I'm going to start to ask the state because, you could make it into something really good. It's kind of rocky. He plays some really good guitar on it. He's a special guy. And then this is where, again, I don't believe it. Paul said that Prince is a wizard and named the song Kiss as one of the top 10 tracks that defines the life of Paul McCartney. Are you buying that for a second?
I guess. Sure.
No. He also said songs that define his life are All Shook Up by Elvis, God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, and Don't You Want Me by the Human League. Paul, stop lying. You don't like the Human League. No one likes the Human League. I'm sorry.
Aren't we all ready for Paul McCartney to just go away?
There is there is an amazing, and I recommend people take a peek at it. The Onion website did a story about the preparations for Paul's funeral. And it's handled like a real, it's very, very funny. Here's a quiz for you. And are you a good speller as a rule? I know you do a lot of stuff on AI, so I don't know.
Probably not.
How your spelling is.
No.
According to Americans, these are the hardest states to spell. So I'm going to do a little a little quiz for you. This is from Mental Floss. Mississippi, not in the top five.
Okay, because I've got that one down.
Well, because it's got a rhythm to it. Josh, yes. Number one, spell for me Hawaii.
H-A-W-A-I-I.
Very good. Very good.
Good.
I've stopped you in time. Were you going to keep going with more eyes?
No. I was just trying to think through. It's hard for me to spell without writing down.
I understand. Pennsylvania.
P-E-N-N-S-L-Y-V-A-N-I-A.
You inverted the L and the Y.
Yeah.
It says Pennsylvania. Think of your old television set, the Sylvania. But no, you did not get that right.
No, I did not buy my TV at Montgomery Ward's.
Pennsylvania. Oh, here's Mike's hometown, Connecticut.
C-O-N-N, period.
No, you got to go to the end, to the bitter end.
E-T-I-C.
C-O-N-N-E-C-T-I-C-U-T.
I got to write these down. I can't do it in my head.
I just realized that the first, it is connect. It's connect, I cut. Anyway, that'll help you remember.
Oh, then they're pronouncing it wrong.
I don't know why anyone would have trouble spelling Georgia, so I'm not even going to ask you to spell that. But Tennessee and Georgia were tied for fourth. Give me the spelling of Tennessee.
T-E-N-N-E-S-E-E. There might be a second S in there.
Well, I need your final answer.
T-E-N-N-E-S-E-E. One S.
Two S's.
I knew it.
Well, you got to go with your gut. And the final one, number five, Massachusetts.
M-A-S-S-A-S. Hold on. Start over.
Yeah, okay.
Lost
clean slate.
In my own head.
Yeah.
M-A-S-S-A-C-H-U-T-E-S. Massachusetts.
You really do need to write them down, don't you?
I need. I get lost in my own head.
M-A-S, it's all the gel. M-A-S-S-A-C-H-U-S-E-T-T-S. Mississippi, number 7th on the list, as you mentioned it. Yeah. Also, what is the most mispronounced state? I love this. There's two of them, and we are such a stupid nation.
Oregon.
No. People that still say Arkansas instead of Arkansas.
Wait, that's a real thing? People say Arkansas?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well,
stupid, right?
Yeah.
Sad, yeah, right?
It's like the people that can't say Utz.
Yeah.
And then I realized... as I move down here, and people down here just do really call it Utz.
Yeah. And then also people say Nevada, and you should say Nevada. That's the other one.
Nevada?
Yeah, Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you go there because you love the hotels. And finally, Josh, I hold in my hand the final story. It's hard enough to find a nice pickleball court without a guy like this. A 31-year-old guy in Pennsylvania, or as Josh would say, Pennsylvania, named Saif Kalim is facing charges after police say he vandalized several pickleball courts and tennis court nets. There's surveillance footage allegedly showing him cutting a pickleball net, and he was caught vandalizing courts at another park 2 days later. They zeroed in on Saif after getting tips from the community and confronted him at his home. He admitted to damaging the nets. When asked why, he said he was upset because he recently suffered a pickleball injury and his summer was ruined. So he didn't want anybody to have any fun. So look out in the near future for a class action suit from a bunch of white guys whose knees aren't what they used to be.
My dad plays pickleball every single day.
Do you think your dad would kick his ass?
Oh, yeah. He wins tournaments and stuff all the time.
No, I mean like beat him up from wrecking the net.
Well, no. No, my dad would just play over the little wire that's left. They always run that steel wire through the
that's
middle.
That's true. It's got to go through the net. Now, does your brother, does Matt play pickleball? Because I know you've played it before.
Yes. If the three of us get together, we can have some really good pickleball tournaments.
I bet. Who would be your fourth?
Well, that's a problem.
It is.
People don't like to play with us because we're too competitive.
You are too competitive. It is literally a problem. All right. So that's your news, folks. When we come back, I got some thoughts about sixth grade, and Josh wanted to talk about it as well. But first, I want to talk about everybody's favorite podcast, Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks. It's a great program. Josh and I co-host it together. If you like movies, but you feel that you are sadly lacking in your knowledge of classic motion pictures, you can fix that by listening to Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks, the podcast about Rob's movies. Every week, join us as we watch a classic movie that I hand select, and I try to convince Josh why the movie is great, and sometimes I succeed.
Occasionally, we do good movies.
Yeah.
We always do classic movies, that movies that you feel like you should have watched at some point in your life.
Yeah, for your cultural literacy, with the exception, and we always bring it up, Frankenstein.
That was a mistake.
The new Frankenstein was a mistake. So whether it's comedy...
Maybe we'll do He-Man.
And also we'll review the State Fair. Whether it's a comedy, a horror, a Western, a musical, color or black and white, watch the movie in advance and listen in. It's really fun because we will not only give you a recap, but we pepper our thoughts and I try to bring facts. Josh brings facts. It's fascinating. You might learn something. You might disagree, but no matter what, you're going to enjoy yourself. So check out Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks this week for the 1981 masterpiece, The Cannonball Run. This will post today. Per Josh's request, it's in full color.
Yes, and good luck finding it to stream.
Yeah, luckily.
If you do, I'll give you a hint. I enjoyed it.
Luckily, I have the Blu-ray, which is sort of like buying a Cadillac to pull stumps, but I do have the Blu-ray of Cannonball Run. Does it hold up? Cannonball Run, is it a remnant of a different time? Is it the second Jack Elam movie that we reviewed? Yes. Yes, it is.
But is it our first Burt Reynolds movie?
Yes, it is.
So.
It is. Yes. Because Burt Reynolds was not in Support Your Local Sheriff. So visit HIXNIXSTIXPIX.com or wherever you get your podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, give it 5 stars, do all the things. Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks is what you need right now. By the way, the name is great. Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks. Hope you can join us for that. I so enjoy it talking to you because on certain movies, you're into agreeing, and then there are other movies where you just zone out. So I like to try to keep you interested.
I don't think I zone out. It's just I hate this movie.
What's the least, what of the movies I've recommended, which is the one you've hated the most?
I don't know.
Frankenstein doesn't count because
Frankenstein doesn't count. I'd have to look at the list.
Yeah.
See some that I really didn't like.
I know that you liked Rosemary's Baby, although it upset you.
I did like Rosemary's Baby. I just had to watch it at like 9 a.m. with all the lights on because I have problems with Satan. I'll tell you how I watched Cannonball Run.
Yes.
While driving down 95.
Now, when you played that movie, did your Tesla listen and go faster?
It did not, but I had nice full loud volume with the movie, had it on the iPad, and it was great.
Yeah, it's I can't wait to talk about this. The problems with it are multifold. It shouldn't hold up, but we've got strong opinions. Now, you've got 2 sixth graders graduating,
I do.
Right?
Yeah, they finished sixth grade. Tomorrow's their last day. And for me, sixth grade was a graduation out of elementary school and into middle school. For them,
middle school is now 6, 7, 8, right?
Middle school is now 6th, 7th, 8th.
Right.
For me, it was just 7th, 8th.
Me too.
So sixth grade graduation was a really big deal, but it got me thinking about like what life was like when I was in sixth grade, which then is like, we talk all the time about everything that changed, but it made me think about what hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And what now, is still the same, that because if you ask the kid I graduated sixth grade in 1992.
Yeah.
If you ask someone in 1992 what life would be like in 2026.
Yeah.
I mean, flying cars, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and I was, you know, you're, I guess, 11 into 12 when you're in sixth grade. So it was for me 1982. We're 10 years apart. And it seemed like things were modern then. I remember seeing a computer. In sixth grade, we had like a field trip to, they would never do this now, to the teacher's house where they set up 2 or 3 computers that we could see and touch. Unattended, you know, just in the teacher's house. That's kind of creepy in retrospect.
I did have one field trip to a teacher's house as well. It was to churn butter.
Was it? Okay. Was it just you or was it the rest of the class as well?
Right. We were all there.
Okay. And the teacher watched you behind a one-way mirror? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, trapped in the basement.
Exactly. Do you remember your sixth grade teacher's name?
Mr. Fitzpatrick was my sixth grade teacher.
I am Facebook friends with my sixth grade teacher.
Oh, see, I am not, but I am Facebook friends with my fourth grade teacher.
Oh, that's wild. That's wild. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Lengel was my sixth grade teacher. I remember that sixth grade is about when... We got the computer thing and we'd play, there was an oil game and a landmine game, and there was very little you could do on a computer then, and they were massive. We started watching videos instead of actual movies where they would actually thread a projector. That was sort of a transition time. What do you remember about then?
Well, what's cool about sixth grade is through elementary school, I was in that class with my brother-in-law now, and... he eventually married my sister, but because of that, he is very nostalgic and keeps all this stuff that I've thrown out. So
that's cool.
So every now and then he'll bring things out. Like recently he sent like a class video from when we were in sixth grade, which is cool because he saves all that stuff.
I have a video of our class from fifth grade that I believe was shot on a camera the size of a Kia Soul. Video cameras used to be so big. Actually, you know what? It was not even that. It was a big camera that connected to the video unit. There were two pieces, and you had to wear the video unit like over your shoulder, and then you could hook it up into your television. But it's weird. You watch it, and it might as well be 100 years ago. But there are things that are the same, I think.
Well, yeah, and I was struggling to think of things that were the same, and then I went and had to pump gas this morning.
Yes.
I realized... pumping gas has not changed.
No,
it's the same as when we were kids. Mm-hmm. You pull the thing out, you stick it in the car. It's got the little thing that you clip to like hold it down for you to rest your hand.
Yeah,
it's
I think
the same.
The only thing that, well, they've changed. You got the card readers.
Yes. Now,
but other than that, yeah.
Yes, and this morning I told you I forgot my wallet, so I had to go inside and prepay, and I haven't prepaid for gas since I was in high school.
You felt
so
like a troglodyte. Yeah, horrible.
But the idea of pumping gas has not changed. And the other thing that I came up with was grocery shopping. Why has grocery shopping not gotten better?
They've tried. You know, like where there are certain stores where you can like scan your own groceries, and they think self-checkout is a huge deal.
And it's not. And I know you can order online, But that's like saying, well, pumping gas has changed because I now plug in a car.
Mm-hmm.
No, those are different things.
Now, I remember sixth and seventh grade, the thing to do, and we discussed this earlier on the show this week, I think, was going to the mall.
Yes.
Is that anything for your kids?
It is. And it wasn't until the past year. It has completely come back.
Wow. That
my kids love going to. In fact, after school today, I told my daughter I would take her to the mall.
Now, are you at the point where what my folks would do would like drop me off at noon and meet me at 7 o'clock outside Woodward and Lothrop? Or do you go with them?
No, because there's a lot of pushback on malls now.
Of unattended kids, minors.
Unattended minors. In fact, I've been to a couple malls where they like, after 7 o'clock, they put like a wristband on you and on your kid.
Wow.
Not where you're locked together, but it's like the kid has a pink wristband and you have a green wristband to say you're here responsible for some kid and that kid is here with an adult.
That makes it fun, I guess.
I don't know.
I guess that it was a different time. Things were safer. But I mean, when I was growing up, the big mall was Tyson's Corner in McLean, Virginia. But then Fair Oaks Mall opened outside of Vienna in Fairfax. And this had everything.
Right.
A movie theater, restaurants, Spencer's Gifts. Nothing like setting an 11-year-old loose in a Spencer's Gifts to find something really inappropriate.
And speaking of things that haven't changed, Spencer Gifts, I don't know if you've been in one recently.
Probably the same stock. Yeah.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah. I need a new lava lamp. I'm headed off to the mall.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a big deal. I kind of like the fact that kids still dig it. You know, that's real life.
As a kid, I had Golden Ring Mall in Baltimore was the mall I went to.
Hello.
And then after sixth grade, we moved to Arnold outside of Annapolis. Mm-hmm. So it became the Annapolis Mall. And I remember how big a deal it was in seventh grade when me and my buddies could ride our bike down the B&A Trail to Marley Station Mall. So we could hang out at the mall, go to the movies, and then bike back.
The Annapolis Mall is a great mall, if I remember right.
As far as I know, it's a great mall.
And you spent most of your time as a kid, in Bloomingdale's?
Well, I worked at the mall through high school and college.
Oh, I forgot about that. But let's talk sixth grade Josh Schroka.
Yes.
Where's your go-to at the mall? What store would you go to? Because I can tell you three right away for me.
Well, I believe back then it was called EB Games, and it was computer games.
Right. Okay.
So that would be a key one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sixth grade, you're going by KB.
Of course, still the toy store.
Mm-hmm. And then the food court.
Okay.
What middle school boy doesn't love the food court?
Food court is good. I would. My first stop would always be Variety Records. Record store. I could spend days. Yeah. We had a Sam Goody as well. And then also, I'm such a nerd. I would love to go to the bookstore. We had Walden Books.
I would go to Walden Books. And in the chat, Babbage's.
Babbage's
is definitely one of them.
Now, was that like a department store? I can't even remember.
No, it's a computer. It sold software. It's where you go look at the box of Leisure Suit Larry.
Great game. Really fine game.
Yeah.
Hard to win it. But I do remember one thing on Leisure Suit Larry is if you needed money, there was a casino that you could go to within the game. And they didn't outlaw the fact that you could bet a negative amount of money. So if you lost, it added that money.
Right.
So there was never any chance to lose that.
I was never able to play Leisure Suit Larry. But I was very big adult content. So,
yes.
But I was very big into the Police Quest franchise that came out, I think, by the same people.
Now, did you play the Leisure Suit Larry that had graphics, or like the original one that was just a call and response one, where you type in stuff and it would answer you?
It'd be graphics.
Okay, so the one I played was old, like in the age of Simon and Merlin and all those.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah, like I, yeah. I played some games like that where you just type in and it's like a storybook.
Yeah. And I tell you what, we thought it was the best. Producers Club. Are we doing that tomorrow?
Friday, 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yes. I'll be there.
I'm at the bin store doing it from there again.
I love Mobile Josh when he's out there doing his thing. Josh, tell me, give me an elevator pitch. What is the Producers Club?
The Producers Club, I love the Producers Club. It is growing. We are figuring it out as it grows. The big foundation of the Producers Club is every Friday, Rob and I get together.
Maybe Mike.
Show up on occasion.
Yeah.
We just talk about the past week of shows. We talk about things we liked, things we thought worked well, things we thought didn't work that well. We get your feedback and let you kind of drive the show. We talk about ideas, and here's some ideas we have for the future of the show. What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
I love the fact that it is so truly interactive. The chat room is open. Yes. When you join the Producers Club, and you can come in, you can ask direct questions. If it's something really compelling, we'll bring you on the show.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Me too.
We haven't done that yet, but I want to bring you producers on the show to talk about their and get their full feedback. We have a producers Discord now that you can get in and talk with us all the time.
Yeah.
And I just love, like, one thing I've always loved about TMOS is the family atmosphere of the listenership,
and it's more so now than ever before. This is your show. I mean, we do it, but we do it for you guys, and we want it to be the way you want it to be.
And
so,
and one thing we learned is we can't listen to everyone. There's too much feedback out there. There's too much negativity. There's too much, I want it what like it was in the 90s.
Yeah, we want people who are invested.
So the Producers Club shows us you're invested, shows us we should listen to you, shows us we should care. And we're going to be doing, it's growing. We're going to be doing some cool stuff. Clearly, there's going to be, I was working this week on some Producer Club buttons.
Yes.
So that when you show up on the cruise, you can have your button and everyone knows that, hey, that guy's fancy. He's a producer.
You know what? I'm not even going to call it a button. I'm going to call it a badge.
A badge?
Yes, a Producers Club badge.
maybe we need a Producers Club challenge coin. So it's like you pull that out. Hey, you better buy me a drink because you're not a producer.
I hate challenge coins. I'm sorry.
I do too.
You know
I
what?
Do too, but the Producers Club is where it makes sense.
Everybody in the chat room is saying that I hate everything in today, especially for some reason. But no, I can't do that. I don't do challenge coins.
Unfortunately, it's too cheap to join the Producers Club because I was really hoping for jackets.
Satin jackets?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
DJ jackets? I love it.
Like members only jackets.
Oh, even better. Yeah. Or, you know, let's just be creepy and put everyone in trench coats.
But you can join the Producers Club over on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
You sign up there. That we're letting YouTube handle all that right now. $20 a month, and you get even more access to us. And I really do think the Friday shows are 30, 40 minutes, and I think it's really fun. It's not a show format. We purposely don't start with any opening or
no,
music
it's just,
or anything.
It's like a show meeting, really.
It is. It's a show meeting.
And I really enjoyed the time flies, and it's not going to be all nuts and bolts because we always end up laughing at stuff and remembering stuff.
Yes.
But also, this is for the what you would call a P1, the really invested listener, that they would take the moment to support the show that extra step, which is awesome. But also give you more unfettered access to us and what's going on. So the Producers Club will meet tomorrow at 11 a.m. and I will discuss the music bed under the new Amazon bumper and whether or not it's too much.
And then maybe we'll talk about Mike's face.
Face. All right, we're going to take a break. This is where you ask me if I have a new beautiful video.
I thought that was our break.
This is. Yeah, we're done with it. And then we'll come back and we'll do video.
We're already to the video segment?
Yeah, after we do the soul spot. But you have to ask me if I have beautiful video.
Well, I missed one. I missed the segment. And I don't know. Do you have beautiful video today?
I do. I have lots of it, Josh. And we'll hear it when we come back after this word.
I feel like Mike. I missed the segment.
You don't look like Mike. We'll be back after this word from Soul.
You know that we love Soul, and with good reason. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulas designed for predictable feel-good effects. They have the amazing out-of-office gummies, the refreshing and delicious out-of-office drinks, and they even have THC oil drops. But now they have some new products that are truly next level. Soul now has out-of-office mood gummies, three new gummy varieties that are specifically formulated to reset your routine one vibe at a time. You can get uplift for a little boost, balance to keep things nice and steady, or mellow because sometimes we all need to take it down a notch. Mood gummies are where it's at. Remember, all of Soul's best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable calming buzz. It's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next-day regret of alcohol. You wake up feeling rested, relaxed and ready to go. Josh and Rob swear by them, so don't be a dummy. Buy a gummy. Bleh. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off.
Thank you, Mike. Mike will be back on our next show. Actually, Mike's on the bonus show, which will drop tomorrow morning at about 9:45. And Mike will be back Monday, and we appreciate it. Now, the words of Jerry Todd.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Little by little, soccer players, footballers are seeping into the national consciousness. And I think it's a hard press by soccer. I don't think it's going to work yet. Undeserved?
Undeserved.
Okay. You and your brother should play soccer on opposite teams.
But there'd be a whole lot of slide tackle.
Okay. In Chelsea, which is England, a footballer on the Chelsea team is doing social media stuff now is all part of sports. You'll interview a football guy and he'll say, like, what's your favorite food? Or, you know, what's your day like? So this guy is named Cole Palmer. And he gets asked a question about the most famous person he's ever met. And this guy must play a lot of soccer because he does not seem plugged in.
Famous person you've ever met? Don't actually know, you know. Is there not like a random musician or film star you've bumped into or like?
Maybe Madonna, actually.
Madonna?
Is she famous?
She's incredibly famous.
No, but you said Madonna, like Madonna.
No, I meant like, when the hell did you meet Madonna?
Oh yeah, Madonna. She was at Chelsea game, innit? I seen her there.
That's a big name, bro.
I got a picture.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did she ask you for the photo, or did you ask her for the photo?
I asked her for the photo.
Madonna. Is she famous? She's that new kid, that pop singer, right?
Yeah. I think Madonna counts.
Madonna does count. Robert Pattinson. Have we heard much of him since the Twilight series?
I've seen him in something else. They tried to make a big push for him.
Well, he's got a movie coming out soon. They've not announced the date yet, and it's a weird fit. He's playing Chris Hansen. Does that name mean anything to you?
To Catch a Predator?
Yep, he's playing Chris Hansen from Dateline to Catch a Predator. The movie is called Prime Time, and the weird thing is he's really captured the voice of Chris. I don't know what the plot is.
Wait, I'm so confused.
I can only guess the plot is
How to Catch a Predator, the movie?
I think it's the story of To Catch a Predator, and I'm guessing the climax must be when the guy that they caught committed suicide and effectively ended that series because it got too serious too quick. But I want you to hear Pattinson doing the voice of Hansen, and I think it's pretty good.
Come on in.
What would have happened if I wasn't here?
Yeah, it's too high pitch.
You see how this looks, right?
It gets better, I think.
At the end of the day, a man must be held accountable for the decisions that he makes. Do you agree?
You're not buying it?
No, because it sounds like a trailer for like a Joker movie. It sounds like a bad guy talking.
I have no idea where they're going to go with this movie. It was vague, the press release I got.
Is it? Is he playing Chris Hansen in the movie, or are they trying to give the Chris Hansen feel?
No, he plays Chris Hansen
because
from To Catch a Predator.
It sounds like a bad guy being like, and it's time for someone to learn a lesson.
Well, you know, though, but Chris Hansen, especially as that thing sort of grabbed hold, he got more sinister. Like, what do you think you're doing? You know, when he let him into it, we've got cookies, we've got Zima. So I just don't know what the plot is.
Right. Is the next movie going to be Cops the movie?
He only hits me because he loves me, Josh. Now, while we're talking sports, Bryce Harper, he's a notable player, yes?
Yeah, he plays for the Phillies.
Used to play for the Nationals.
Yes.
Big deal, right? And it was a big deal when he left? He was a big
player,
right?
Big deal when he left.
Okay. He's gone viral for something other than baseball. Let's watch this. This is from Petco Field, I think, the night before last. It sort of sets up what I'm about to play.
Video board here. They have the Bryce Harper fact. It says squirts toothpaste into his mouth instead of onto a toothbrush when brushing his teeth. Try it tonight, John. Let me know tomorrow how it goes.
Yeah, I'll give it a whirl. Got the shake so bad, I hope I don't chip a tooth.
great, great color commentary. But the whole notion of him doing that, let's take a look at him doing his daily routine.
Schlauer.
Does he know this is weird?
I don't think he does. He spits, he opens his toothpaste, and squirts it into his mouth, closes the toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Oh, awesome, that's weird. I have never, ever seen that.
Does it even work?
Well, it would. I mean,
once you
bubble
it up.
Bubble it, but it belongs on your toothbrush. That's the application method. My dentist once told me that a good method is to put the toothpaste on your brush and then sort of dab it around your teeth on the brush to spread it out. But this guy is squirting it into his mouth like it's a party favor at Lollapalooza, like he's doing whippets or something.
I'm just confused. Like, who taught him this? Like, your parents teach you how to brush your teeth.
Yes.
Then you watch. Then you see it in cartoons.
Yeah.
Then you see it in commercials, and it always shows toothpaste on the toothbrush.
Yeah. Maybe you know what? I bet you use more toothpaste if you squirt it into your mouth. So big toothpaste probably loves it. Crest, Procter and Gamble, all those, Colgate, AIM, Aquafresh. Pepsodent.
I haven't seen a toothpaste commercial in a long time.
Yeah.
But
you know,
maybe they should. This is called the toothpaste marination method.
I don't like it. I think that, you know what? It would be smart for Procter & Gamble to reach out to him and get him to, of course, change that horrible beard, but then also make him be a spokesman and say they turn him around. He also scrapes his tongue, but I didn't play you that.
And he is also the only person I can find on the internet that does this.
The only person in the world?
Wow. Yeah, as far as I can. Well, I don't know. He's the most popular because I do a quick Google search and it's all him.
All right. I've got a couple more to play for you. And please, people, brush your teeth, floss, scrape.
How many
but
cavities
do it the right
has
way.
He had?
I don't know. I can't answer you that. Probably or more how, than less
how's
than
his
me.
Breath?
Kissing sweet. Always has been. I know what you're thinking. Who's the guy that founded Hooters as a restaurant? What kind of creep is this guy?
Oh, he's got to be a creep.
Well,
he's like the guys that find boy bands.
You know what? That's a good call. But here's the deal. Hooters is having trouble. So they're going to try to rebrand it as a more family-like environment. Hooters. Here's the founder of Hooters, the creep, explaining what motivated him.
That others will see in a change.
Yeah, a couple things. One, you know, they didn't use our original famous sauce. They had used a cheaper version of it. And about 70% of our food items have that unique, craveable sauce on.
If the sauce is made of butter and hot sauce, which is what it is.
Yeah.
How expensive is that?
This is the CEO. Is he also the guy that founded it?
I believe so, many years ago. And also, never trust someone that sits that low in their task chair. Let's go back to his rebranding plans.
And the second thing, most importantly, they had taken the Hooters girls' uniforms, over-sexualized it, I call it. The shorts almost turned into thongs. And frankly, that was never the intent of the brand. This was a...
Right. It was always about the breasts.
Are you...
Not the shorts.
Who's buying that? That it was never the fact that it was... It certainly ain't the food.
Created in 1983 as an escape or an oasis. You know, it's a beach community. It's a beach-themed type of thing here.
Beach-themed. Ever get that in a Hooters? Never have I got that in a Hooters.
Oh, I, you know what? I've never been to a Hooters.
Good for you. You're a good boy, Josh. There used to be a Hooters in the basement. Not the basement.
In the basement.
The first floor.
That was not an official franchise you went to.
Yeah, and it was so dark. No, when we were broadcasting in New York, the first floor of our building was a Hooters, so we ate there quite often. And it's not good food, and it's... Hooters, you know, it's not beach themed.
So no, you
that was
go
very
there for the wings,
and
right?
Of course, today on social media, when you see pictures of people wearing the uniform, it appropriately affects other markets and affected us. So we just wanted to rectify, to get the brand back to its roots. I call it a re-hooterization or a rebrand, but
a re-hooterization.
Here's the team that founded the Hooters.
You know what? I bet he'd
in
like
1983.
To see. I bet he'd like to see them in some tight pants, some tight Hooters pants. But that, you know what? Go back to the photo one more time.
Yes.
There's a surfboard there. That's beach themed.
That is beach theme and a Hawaiian shirt and some Christmas lights.
Yeah, exactly. It's Christmas at the beach is what it is.
Hooters was incorporated on April 1st because they thought it would be funny because they thought it would probably fail.
Yeah, you know what? Hooterization and re-hooterization is funny, is it not? It's very funny, entertaining.
Yeah, that's re-hooterized the Michael Mara show.
We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Producers Club, and I've got to go find some orange shorts. Let's close with this. I like this because they have a series of videos on the Instagram, and it's called 0% Equipment, 100% Talent. And these are Japanese performers that perform outside a Japanese subway, like a busker, an entertainer.
Okay.
And they don't use any real instruments except for the exception of a kazoo. Do you count a kazoo as a real instrument?
Yeah, that would be an instrument.
Okay, but so not...
That's a little cheating, but let's see how it goes.
Check out, and I know our president will love this performance. And I should set it up for people.
I count everything on that screen as an instrument. If you are using something to make music, it's an instrument.
Okay, but I mean, to be fair, it's a rice strainer or a kitchen strainer of some sort,
yes.
A squirt bottle, a five-gallon water bottle... other than that, and the kazoo, that's what they're using.
And two kazoos.
Yeah, but you know what? As they used to say, a wailing mound of sound.
Yeah, but imagine if those people were in front of the White House. Even better.
Trump would like it. He'd give one of these.
Hold on. Where's what? The horn sound coming from? There's. I think they're playing to a track, too.
I don't think so. Because maybe it's not a kazoo. Maybe it's a horn of some sort.
Maybe.
I like the fact that they're in an area that has excellent reverb.
How do you think he hurt his hand?
She hit him. Because he messed up the water bottle. She said, water bottle is sacred. You can't do that.
It sounds good. I like when people try something new.
I do too.
And are creative.
I would have chosen a different song. I would have chosen a Janis STFU by Drake. It's a great song. Number one in the country.
Yeah, call me on your telephone.
Yes, the call me telephone song. I'm going to Google that Drake song today and see how great it is. Drake. I don't know. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Jar. Josh and Rob, Mike will be back on Monday. Bonus show with Mike drops tomorrow. Really fun bonus show where we get into the nuts and bolts of AI. And I think some of our true personality
Mike,
shows.
And Mike wants a new phone. That was my favorite part of the bonus show. He wants his phone completely redesigned.
Yeah, he does. And also, watch Mike play in pain. Because his face was really killing him.
I hope that's what he's off today for, is dealing with his face.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. If he comes back in tomorrow with a tight-looking, like a plastic surgery face with the eyebrows up, the surprise look, I'm going to call him on it.
Monday, he should just have his whole face wrapped, like, in bandages.
Like the mummy. That'd be great. Yes. Remember, Producers Club, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can join the Producers Club for a nominal fee by going to our website, tmospodcast.com. We want to thank Josh Schroka, the host of Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks, for joining us today. And remember the celebration for my father, Bob Spiewak, at Jimmy's on June 20th. You'll find all the information on my Facebook page. And I went wild. I put it on Instagram. Crazy.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. And of course, the Ferris wheel will be free at the National Mall. For Mike O'Mara and Josh Schroka, it's Rob Spiewak saying thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Josh, are you going to say bye?
Bye. I never said bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.